from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Chayei Sarah, Fair and Square. If we look at Parshat Chayei Sarah, we see the acquisition of the Maran HaMachpelah, the Tomb of the Patriarchs. And this seems like there's an obsession with the details of the fact that he bought it and how he bought it, how much he paid for it. And it says over and again that he offered money, and then he said, no, you don't have to pay. And then he said, you have to pay 400 silver pieces. And then he gave him the silver pieces, and he weighed the silver pieces, and he established it, and it became his, and he buried her there, and then it became his. Over and again, 16 verses discussing the details of the purchase of the Tomb of the Patriarchs. Not only that, but later when Yaakov is talking to Yosef and says that he'd like to be buried there as well, again, it says, you know, that's there, Shekhan Avraham, made Ephron Achiti, that he reminds him of the sale of the land from Ephron the Hittite, and it was bought, and that Avraham had purchased it. Why the great significance of this purchase? Then we notice that there are other special purchases of places in the land of Israel that are also emphasized in the Torah and repeated. For instance, Parshat Vayishlach, Vayikan el Chadrasadeh Shernatasham Alo, Miad Chamor Avishchem, Meaksita, that Yaakov purchased the field in the city of Shechem, which he had bought for 100 kesita, $100, whatever it was in those days. So it also mentions that. And then later when they buried the bones of Joseph in the book of Joshua, it says they buried him in Shechem in the field that Yaakov bought for meaksita, for 100 kesita, whatever that monetary denomination might be. But these are not the only two cases where we find acquisition. We also find it in the end of Shmuel Bet. David realizes there's some kind of plague and he's done something wrong, and the angel kind of points to Jerusalem, so he realizes he must do something about Jerusalem. So the prophet God, G-A-D, tells David that he should go and he should take care of this in the land of, he should build an altar in the field of Arvanah. There's a Jebusite who's still living in Arvanah, who's still living in Jerusalem. In other words, David had conquered Jerusalem, but there was still a Jebusite who was living there, a Yevusi. And this fellow Arvanah is presented as a really nice guy. He says, no, what are you coming to me? He says, Hatov me benav, right? He says, look, you've got all the animals you want, and you have the wood, anything you want. So he says, no, I'm going to buy it from you, and I'm not going to bring an offering for nothing. So he buys the field with 50 silver pieces. Maybe it's really 600. Could be that every tribe had to pay 50. In any event, and then he brings offerings there, and that's the beginning of the Temple Mount. That's the beginning of Jerusalem as we know it today, as a center of the world, as a center of worship, as a place of the divine resting place, the divine house, so to speak, in this world. So we have the story of Hebron, we have the story of Shechem, and we have the story of Jerusalem, in all cases bought, and we know the price that was paid for these items. And we notice a similarity, that both Jerusalem and Hebron were bought from people who seem like nice guys. Ephron, actually, after all, is a friend of Avraham. He says beautiful things about Avraham and very polite. Then, of course, he says, well, you know, between us, what's 400 silver pieces? So we all view his demand of the price as kind of cynical, but he seems like a pretty good guy. Arvanah, from whom David bought the land in Jerusalem, seems like a really nice guy. He's ready to give the land and to provide animals for the sacrifices as well. But then, lesser known is a fourth city. And as Rabbi Amnon Bazak of Yeshivat Har Etzion pointed out, this fourth city is also like a capital city. These are all, after all, capitals. Hebron, capital of David's initial kingdom for the first 7 years. Shechem, the capital of Rehavam, the northern kingdom, for a while. And Jerusalem, of course, the capital of the Jewish people forever, especially since David moved there, and forevermore. And then there's a fourth place, and that is that the kingdom in the north, it moved from Shechem, where it was initially established, to Shomron. How did that happen? It was in the 30th year of Asa, the king of Judah, that Omri was a king of Israel, and he bought the land as well. He bought it for 2 talents of silver. And he called it on the, he called he named the town which he built, Samaria, after Shemer, the owner of the hill. So it also seemed like he was a nice fellow. He named it after that fellow. Now here the Malbim points out, and we know that this fellow Omri, who built the city of Shomron, which was the capital of the northern kingdom, after all we know it is Samaria, for many years, this fellow Omri was one of the wicked kings of the north. As a matter of fact, almost all the kings of the north were wicked, Rishayim. And the rabbis in Sanhedrin, the end of Sanhedrin, say that why was he king altogether? Because he did add a major city in the land of Israel. He bought a city of Shomron, so that was good. But of all these four cities, you know, this is the most wicked one of all, because, you know, Yeravam had some basis to establish the northern kingdom. The prophet said as long as he follows the Torah, he could do so. Hebron and Jerusalem, surely holy cities. But Samaria is established by this wicked king. It's nice that he built a city, but we start to notice some differences. Yes, here too, there is a person he buys it from, and he's a nice enough guy that we want to name the city after him. Usually when you conquer a city, you erase the memory of those from before. He wanted to memorialize his fellow Shemer, who had previously owned this mount. But the Malbim points out, that he says, look at the difference. Jerusalem is called after Avraham, saying that we'll see God in this place. It's a place of great fear. It's a place of we hear visions of God. It's a place of holiness. It reminds us of Melchizedek, the great righteous man, Shem, son of Noah. And this time, it's called after some Belial, some fella who sold the field to Omri, who himself was a wicked man. So we're starting to see some differences. And then we ask, you know, Hebron, in Shomron, in Shechem, it doesn't say that he bought it from a good fellow. He bought it from Hamor, father of Shechem. Shechem was a rapist, and his father probably tolerant of the rape that his son committed. So Shechem, which is the kingdom of the north, which is not really an ideal kind of a place, it was bought from a person. We know the fellow. There was something good about him. You know, he was willing to basically convert his whole community to become Jewish, but he's also a rapist. We see that there's a fellow Shemer in the north, in Samaria. He's not really anybody of any particular repute. Malbim thinks he's a Belial. He's a fool. He's a nothing. Hebron, in this week's Parsha, the story of Avraham and the Marat Machpelah, the tomb of the patriarchs, is bought from a nice fellow, but, you know, he kind of rips off our forefather. He's because it overcharges for the land. But, you know, he's a pretty good guy. And Jerusalem is bought from an outstanding fellow, person who was willing to just give the land for free, to give the sacrifices themselves. So we say to ourselves, what is the Torah trying to say? So usually you hear something to the following effect, that the Torah is saying is that these are the major capitals of Israel, and every capital of Israel, I want to tell you, not only did we conquer the land, but we bought it full price. Like the state of Israel. Not only did they conquer the state in 1948, but they also bought many parcels of the land through the JNF, various purchases. They bought it as well. It's legal. But I'd like to say something else as well. And that is, sometimes a legal purchase can be by coercion. A legal purchase could be from someone who is particularly nasty fellow. So you have a piece of land and it's sort of like a haunted house. You know, it's something that you're not so proud of who used to live there, what used to go on in that particular place. But notice in all these places, in descending order, in the case of Jerusalem, we're really proud of the fellow who was there before. Such a nice guy. He was willing to give it for free. Unlike Chevron, he said he would give it, you know, he was very generous about it. You can have whatever land you want, but he charged an arm and a leg. He's a friend of Avraham. Not bad, not a bad fellow. Shechem, well, it's the father of this fellow who's a rapist. And then Shemer's a nobody. So he bought the land, but, you know, the one who bought it was wicked. The person he bought it from was a nobody. So ultimately, what's the holiest place? It's not Hebron. It's close. Hebron is a place where, you know, there was some pushback. Hey, you want the land? We're going to overcharge you for it. This is one of the trials of Abraham. Here he is, he's promised the land of Israel. And he says, sure, you want to bury someone? Well, we'll think about it. We'll have a whole tribunal. We'll have a Congress. We'll gather the Am Haaretz and we'll decide, well, all right, we'll give it to you if you overpay for it. But Jerusalem, at that moment when he was fine, when it was the moment to build the temple, it was the moment to have David purchase that land. It was a beautiful moment. It was a moment where not only had they conquered, David had personally conquered that city, but also a person living there was happy to give the land, sell the land. It was done not only legally, but also there was no element of coercion. There was an element of gift. The person from before is someone we can be proud of that he used to live here. We continue to sort of remember that this is the place of Goren Avinahi, who see, it's a righteous man. And this way we see the holy cities of Israel. The Rambam said when he went to visit the cities of Israel, he was so moved by Jerusalem and Hebron. These two cities, Jerusalem, Yerushalayim and Hebron, the two cities that were purchased full price. People who were, had good relationships with, it was a willing sale. And then there are other cities as well, but less glorious, the cities of the north, city of Shechem, dubious background, and the city of Shomron, really an unknown sort of a background. When we want to have a place of holiness, we want it to be completely imbued with holiness. Rabbis tell a story of a rabbi. The Gemara Baba Basra tells a story. Rabbi Hanina, he was such a holy fellow, he made sure that Torah would be so pure that he would plant the flax to make the net, to catch the deer, to slaughter the deer, to give the meat to the poor, to write a Torah on the deer skin, to then give those Torahs to children and that they should teach the Torah one to another. He wanted that if it's going to be Torah, it should be pure even from the way the deer was trapped. We want to build a Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. It has to be done peacefully, has to be done with consent. And that's the vision of Isaiah. One day, the nations of the world will bring us to Jerusalem. They'll say, show me the way to Jerusalem. Here's some money. Here's some gold and silver to help build the temple in Jerusalem. When there is that kind of willingness and consent, that will be the great day on which truly we can dedicate that holy place. It can truly be a holy place where everyone can feel good about that place and the consent that went into it. In our times, not seeing that willingness to give up Jerusalem and the Holy Temple Mount. But we've seen in our time, there were nations who said, sure, take a piece of the land of Israel and make a state of Israel. The Balfour Declaration, 1917, just commemorating the 100th anniversary of it. Almost 70 years ago, when Israel was established, 70 years ago, the partition plan, the nations of the world said, sure, take part of Israel. They didn't give us Jerusalem, but they gave us a part of Israel, a beautiful part of Israel. And for this, we're very grateful. We look forward to the day when a new Arvanah will come. We'll say, here, we want to be partners, building a home for Jerusalem, for God, not just for our faith, but for all faiths, l'chol amim. And on that day, God's name will be one, and He will be one. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefar Beth Lamed Congregation for our discussion of the Parsha. Join us each week for a discussion of the holidays and the Parshiyot. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.